Would you bow your heads with me as we pray for today's message? Father God, we're so in awe of you, Lord, as we sang this morning. We stand in awe of you. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And so, Father, we give you the glory this morning as we look to the Word of God, that you will anoint us by the Holy Spirit to declare the truth and also the timeliness of this message, Lord. For you have a now word, an on-time word for the church. Help us to have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. The name of my message this morning is End Times Heart Check. End Times Heart Check. My grandson, Colin, could not be with us this morning, but as he was growing up with his little brother, Landon, you know, our grandson Landon has had 5 surgeries in the 2 years of his life. He's got quite a story. And Colin, his big brother, who's now 8 years old, started to learn all about the doctors because they would be going to the doctor so many times, you know, so he learned how to pronounce pulmonologist when he was like 3 years old. And then one day he surprised us. He says, Mom called, and Angela called and said, where's Mommy? She goes, oh, she's took Landon to the cardiologist. The cardiologist, she would say. Today I want you to remember something, that there are great cardiologists on this earth. Steve has been worked on this last 2 months through cardiology. Right, Steve? Good to have you here this morning. But today I want you to focus your attention on our heavenly cardiologist. There's a spiritual condition in our heart that God is concerned about that's more important, even more important than our physical heart. God is our spiritual cardiologist. Cardiologist. End Times Heart Check is the name of this message. End Times Heart Check. Just before his crucifixion, Jesus taught on the conditions that would be present in this world and the signs that would occur in the last days before he would come back again. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? Came the first time as a humble shepherd. He came riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. He came as a servant. He came as the Lamb of God to give his life for the sins of the world, humbly. But the second time he's coming back as a conquering king. Hallelujah. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And Jesus stressed the importance of the end times. The subject of the end times is all over the Bible. The prophetic purposes of God and the timeline of the nations rising and the nations falling. From the book of Daniel and other prophetic books in the Bible, we get an overview of God's perspective of the history of mankind, even going back as far as 7,000 years ago. And then Jesus talked, and other apostles talked about the time that would be present on this earth, and gave us an idea as to how we could judge what time we were living in and how close we were to the actual return of Christ. And it's called the signs of the times. Jesus gave various signs and described the conditions that would be on earth just prior to his return, just before he returns to earth. And he even described it as a woman who was in labor pains. He says, you'll know the time is close because there will be things happening on the earth that will increase with frequency. In frequency, like a labor pains increase the closer the baby's to be born, right? Labor pains get closer and closer. And also in intensity. And all of the ladies that had babies say, ouch. Intensity. Labor pains are pretty intense. But God said that there were going to be some painful things happening on the earth, signs of the times that would increase and get worse and worse, more intense, just prior to the coming and the return of Jesus Christ. But he also told his disciples not to be preoccupied with the signs, with the stars and with the heavens and with the prophecies, although it's good to study those things. He said it's more important that you concern yourself with the condition of your heart than with the signs of the times. It's an interesting study, and I love to study prophecy, and I like to look at things, and I'm fascinated. Recently, I don't know if you heard about this, there was a woman in Alabama who was taking a video of the clouds, and because she had company coming, and there were some storms that were predicted by the weather, you know, the weather forecast, and so she was waiting for company to come from out of town, and she's taking a picture of the clouds, and all of a sudden, there's an opening in the cloud, and you see like the sun coming through. And then as clear as I'm standing here, you see a gigantic figure of what looks like Jesus walking across the clouds. Yeah. I mean, you can look it up on YouTube. Just look it up. It's called Jesus Walking Through the Clouds. Now, if that's really Jesus, I don't know. But I do know that sounds like a sign in the heavens to me. It sounds like something that captures our imagination and our attention. But at the same time, we must be careful that we don't spend our time with strange things like astrology and New Age mysticism and weird, you know, people who are mystics and supposed to be prophets and so on and so forth. Just stick with the Bible, all right? Don't get into anything weird, all right? If it's not in the Bible, then put it aside. So, but here's the thing. The most important thing that Jesus emphasized would not just be the condition of the world, but would be the moral condition of people's hearts and lives. So the question this morning is, how is your heart? Turn to your neighbor and say, how is your heart? Turn to your other neighbor and say, where is your heart? Is your heart in church today? Or is it somewhere else? Is your heart affection on Jesus? Or is your heart worried? Is your heart healthy? Or are you heart sick? Is your heart trusting God? Or is your heart discouraged? There's so many things the Bible says about the heart, the condition of the heart. You can have a good heart. You can have a broken heart. You can have a disillusioned heart. You can have a heart that's weighed down with burdens. It says so many things about the condition of the heart. And this is what I want to focus on this morning, the end times heart check. Let's look at Matthew 24, starting at verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, this is just prior to his crucifixion, the disciples came to him privately and said, Lord, tell us, when will these things happen? He was talking about the destruction of the Jewish temple that was going to happen in 70 AD under the auspices of Roman Emperor Titus. He was predicting that. And they said to him, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming? And the end of the age. It's natural for us to want to know, when is this all going to end? What's the climax? Aren't you curious this morning how the world ends? Yeah. How the story ends? Yeah. Jesus answered, watch out. It's so interesting that he starts with those words. Watch out. Everybody say, watch out. Watch out. He doesn't say, okay, well, if you see this happen and this nation is going to be at war with that nation, he goes into some of that. And he goes into some of the other signs. There'll be floods. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be strange diseases. And people's conditions, the hearts will be hardened and there'll be deception. All these other things. But the first thing he says is, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. So he warns about false messiahs, false Christs. There's only one Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. So he also tells us, don't be afraid. First he says, watch out. But then he says, don't be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. God's got it all under control. Then he says, such things must happen, but the end is still yet to come. nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of what? Labor pains. So when we talk about the end times, you may want to write some of this down. We're talking about three things that actually happen. We're talking about events that happen on the earth, like wars, nations rising against nation and conflict. We're also talking about signs in the heavens, strange things that are happening in the heavens that we cannot explain. And then also, more importantly, we're talking about the moral condition of people on earth just before Jesus comes. So Jesus explains these things in detail, but that's basically what he's saying. He says, if you want to study the end times, if you want to know the proximity of the return of Christ, be on the lookout for events that are happening on the earth, signs in the sky and in the atmosphere, in the heavens, and thirdly, the moral condition of people on earth. Matthew 24, verse 10 to 13. Matthew 24, verses 10 to 13. I believe we have it. At that time, referring to this time that we're speaking of, the end times, at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. How many of you know the word hate has been on the news a lot lately? Come on, church. And there will be many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness or lawlessness, it's saying that people will become more and more lawless. Laws won't matter anymore. The love of most people will grow cold. Now that's the moral result. Love of most people will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Hallelujah. The last few months in our country, you can't help but notice the words of the Bible coming to life right before our eyes. The division that's in our country, our government leaders seem to have reach in their divisiveness and in their speech and in their words of accusation, their words of insults and threats, filling the halls of government with all of their divisiveness and even hatred. This is what's dominating the news right now. Are you with me, church? Am I telling the truth this morning? Question is, can the heart of America be healed? America needs a spiritual cardiologist. Abraham Lincoln wrote these words in March of 1863. We have grown, speaking of our country, Abraham Lincoln said, we have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our own hearts that all of these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. Today, even though Abraham Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents in our country, wrote this, you probably could not read this in a university campus right now in our country without being censored. Because it says we have become too proud to feel the necessity of God's grace and too proud to pray to God that made us. That's actually controversial now. That's how far we've come. Is anybody following what I'm talking about this morning? That's how far we've come. Besides the moral situation, we have conflict with Iran, which you may have noticed in the news is at a boiling point right now. Not only the U.S., but England. Our national debt has reached over $21 trillion. Everybody say $1 trillion. Which, by the way, China owns most of our debt. I don't know if you know that. If China ever really got mad, they could call their debt and our country would collapse. Their economy would collapse too, so that's why they're not doing it. And then there's also the increase in hatred in our country. Racism. Violence. People losing basic civility. People don't even speak to each other with courtesy or sense of civility anymore. Are you following me? The breakdown of the family. The loss of morals and common decency. And all the result of all of this, the Bible says, because lawlessness will increase, wickedness will increase, the love of many people, or most people, will grow cold. People's hearts that were once affectionate, once warm, once loved God, once loved their spouse, once loved their friends, have gotten cold and hard. There are currently 28 nations in conflict right now in the world. As we're sitting here this morning, there are 28 nations of the world that are in conflict. There are earthquakes, floods. We just had massive floods in the middle of America, the Mississippi River, and in New Orleans and so on. Signs in the heavens. And this is the one that really disturbs me the most. Accepting evil as normal. I could just stop right here and say this is the end of my sermon. Because Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and call good evil, who exchange darkness for light and light for darkness, who exchange bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's exactly what we have here in the United States right now. We have gone so far from the truth that it's now evil is celebrated. We are supposed to celebrate sin and not rebuke it. Paul writes to Timothy about the last days before Christ's return. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous times. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Can you say amen, church? The Apostle Peter asked this question that is more relevant today. What is today? July 21st, 2019. More relevant today than it's ever been. This is 2 Peter 3:10 in the Amplified. I think we have it on the screen. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will vanish with a mighty and thunderous roar, and the material elements of this world will be destroyed with intense heat. It sounds like a nuclear holocaust. It says the elements, the literal elements, the sand, the dirt, concrete will melt. In those days, you couldn't melt the material elements of the world. But now we can with nuclear weapons. And the earth and the works that are in it will all be burned up. Now here's the question. The million-dollar question. Since all of these things are going to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be in the meantime? I want to say that again. Since all of these things are going to happen, the end is going to come, and everything will be judged by fire, what kind of people ought you to be in holy behavior, that is, in a pattern of life that sets you apart as a believer and in godliness? We sang about it this morning. What is godliness? Displaying profound reverence toward our awesome God. Wow. As you study the teachings of the scriptures of the end times, you discover, and I repeat as I said before, God does not want us to be preoccupied with fear, anxiety, or dates. So if you're getting upset this morning, I only want you to get upset in a good way. You might be asking, Pastor, how can I be upset in a good way? And many of you know the answer to that. Well, you could be upset in a good way if what I'm saying brings you closer to God. If what I'm saying alerts you and awakens you in a loving way and says, while there's time, let's get it right. Hallelujah. While there is yet time, while it is yet today, while it is still the day of grace, because a day is coming when the door will close. Hallelujah. Yeah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness in his generation. Yeah. And for 100 years, he was building that boat. What a project. But the day finally came when all the scoffers, all the mockers, and all those who made fun of them, made fun of Moses, were all left out. It says that God came down and God closed the door of the ark. God closed the door. Read it. Because the wickedness in men's heart was so great, the Bible says that God decided to destroy the world and start all over. And he said, I will never do this again. After the flood, there was a rainbow in the sky. The rainbow was God's new covenant that says, I will never again destroy the world with water. But then it says in the scriptures, the fire next time. Next time will be by fire that the world will be renewed and judged. The condition of our heart. Are we true to our convictions? Are we being true to our faith? Has our love grown cold? Wow. Jesus speaks to the church in Ephesus and says, I have this one thing about you that I need to bring to your attention. You don't love me the way you did at first. Wow. Wow. That's very sad in a marriage. Yeah. Don't get me started. Don't get me started, because I could talk about that subject for a while. When people fall out of love. And I just want to say this with all the love in my heart. We will give an account. And if we don't apologize for the things we've done, and if we don't repent of the things we've done, someday we will see God. It's better to be broken here, stay humble here, than to have to face the judgment seat of Christ. Somebody say amen. I'd rather apologize down here. I'd rather get it right down here than risk missing eternal life. But the Bible says that God's heart was filled with pain in the time of Noah. The wickedness, every thought of man. Man's heart, can we get this one? Thank you. Was continuously evil. Did you ever meet somebody that, no matter how many times you have conversations, how many times you met them for lunch, eventually the conversation goes negative? Of course, nobody here is like that, but all those people out there. But they can't say anything good. Every thought of their heart was continually evil. And here's what is so profound to me, so stirring to me this morning. It says that God's heart, read it in Genesis chapter 6, God's heart was filled with pain. Wow. Did you know God can feel pain? I don't want God to feel pain because of me. How about you this morning? And don't say, well, you know what they did to me deserve. Don't get back. The Lord says, revenge is mine, says the Lord. Don't take revenge on anybody. You let God judge. Don't judge. We're not called to be judges. We're called to pray for people, love people. And if they're abusing you, get away from them. I'm not saying you have to stay in an abusive situation. Get away. But forgive, pray, and go on, because God's got a bright future for you. God's got a bright future for you. That's for somebody here this morning. Matthew 24:9-14. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. There is more persecution of Christians in the world right now than any time before in history. More persecution now than the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire used to put Christians on crosses and light them on fire. Make them human torches. 80% of the persecution and martyrdom in the church right now, in the world today, 80% of persecution and martyrdom in the world today is towards Christians. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. You will be hated by all nations because of me. Isn't it funny how the minute you get on the news and say, I'm a born-again Christian, I love Jesus, they switch the channel and they tune you out. I love Jesus. Boop! The microphone goes dead. At that time, many will turn away from the faith. And this is what I want to get to this morning. How is your heart? Is your heart turning away from God? Has it been cold? Has it been indifferent? Maybe not even intentionally, but by default. Do you know that you can make decisions by not making a decision? You know the story about the man who died and he got to heaven. He died in a flood and he was complaining to God. He said, God, I kept crying out for you to save me. How come I died? He says, well, I sent the boat, the guy in the boat. And I said, yeah, but I was praying, asking you to save me. But I sent the boat. And I sent the helicopter. Yeah, but I thought you would save me. But I sent the helicopter. Come on now, church. If you don't make a decision, you made a decision. If you don't make a decision to be for God, you're against God. Jesus said, whoever is not for me is against me. You've got to be for God. You cannot be indifferent. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You can't be neutral. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most people will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, even in Kenya. Hallelujah. And then, as a testimony, and then the end will come. I'm going to continue this message next week, but today, how is your heart? I know that we all face trials, and the trials we face are common to mankind. You might be thinking to yourself, Pastor, if you knew what I have been through or what I'm going through, you know, you wouldn't preach that so boldly. You wouldn't say that so glibly or so lightly. Well, I want to tell you something. We've been through some stuff too. We've been through stuff because the Bible says the trials we face are common to humanity. Common to mankind. We all face betrayal at one time. We feel insecure sometimes. We lose our temper sometimes. We have people walk out on us. We get fired from our job. We have someone we love that turns on us. We have people that talk and gossip about us. People that have lied about us. I've had people lie about me. Anybody? Had people lie about you? We all face these things. But more importantly, Jesus took it all on the cross. The Bible says that God allowed the judgment that we all deserved for our sinful nature to fall on his son, Jesus. He was what's called the vicarious sacrifice. He stood in our place. He took the punishment that we deserve. And by his wounds, we are healed. So if your heart's broken this morning, God doesn't condemn you. He wants to heal your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If your heart has been hurting in pain, God came to heal. He came to restore. He came to give hope this morning. There's hope in God. Hallelujah. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No matter what happens on the earth. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Don't be afraid. God's love for you is steadfast, everlasting. It will never change. Hallelujah. His faithfulness is renewed every morning, day after day. God is faithful. Can you say amen? Amen. If you're in pain this morning, turn to the only one who really cares. And the only one who can truly heal you. God, my Savior. Remember what we were singing before? What was the second? God, my healer, right? God, my deliverer. He's all three of those. He's my Savior. Say it with me. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. Come on, put up your hand. He's my Savior. He's my healer. I receive it now. I receive it, Lord. Save me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Deliver me from the distress, Lord. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of the heart issue all the important things of life. All of the important things of life have to do with your heart. Whether you succeed or fail, whether you're fulfilled or unfulfilled, whether God receives you as a son or daughter, don't turn away from the living God. Don't let this world slowly condition you to become hard, to become indifferent. And that's the problem. I want to close with this. Satan is very clever. He is a master deceiver. That's why you'll notice the terminology in this study. Watch out for deception. Don't be deceived. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be deceived. Give your neighbor an elbow and say, wake up. Amen. Amen. Because deception doesn't always happen like, you know, a guy in a red, you know, jumpsuit with a pitchfork and two horns shows up in your room. Oh, hello, I'm the devil. That's right. Sometimes he appears as an angel of light. Sometimes that person you've been hanging with, you know, that's trying to influence your life is not necessarily sent by God. Be careful about who you hang out with. Be careful about who's influencing your life. Not everybody is sent by God. So guard your heart and watch out for the slow sizzle, like the frog that was boiled in the water. You know that story. They put a frog in a pan. I mean, in a pot, the water was great. He's swimming, and he's doing the backstroke. He said, this is really cool. I got my own, you know, what do they call that? My own, my own crib. That's what I was trying to think of. Angel has all the cool sayings, you know, because he teaches the college kids, so he knows what all the cool sayings are. The frog is saying, I got my own crib, man. This is really cool. I have finally arrived. The water's a little warm, but, you know, that's okay. I can deal with that. Didn't know that the gas was on the stove. There's a flame underneath that pot. Little by little by little by little. A little lie here. A little compromise here. A little indifference here. Bible getting dusty. Dust on the Bible because never being opened. Showing up for church once every 2 months. Angel, come up and protect me from the stones. Lanre, come up, protect me, brother. Thankfully, there's no stones in here. The slow sizzle. Satan is very patient. I listened to a news program one time, and this had to do with something that was very, very disturbing in our country, that the Supreme Court had to weigh in, that had to do with the future of our family and the family structure in America. And a law was passed in New York, and they were celebrating this law. That was a sin and was anti-God. Somebody say amen. But this is the part that got to me. And by the way, we need to love all people. No matter what they look like, no matter what state they're in, you love them first. Don't judge. Love them. Love them. God can change them. God can change people, all right? So let me get that straight. But this man who had been promoting gay marriage on the news said to the interviewer, he said, I am in tears today because this has been a 25-year quest for me. I've been promoting this cause for 25 years in New York. You see how patient the enemy is. And sometimes, you know, God didn't answer my prayer in 2 days and I'm ready to walk away from God. Come on now, church. Don't lose your patience because God is patient with you. God is very patient with you. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. How is my heart? How is my heart? Where is my heart? Lord, help me to get it right. Hallelujah. 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 If you're here today, I'm going to ask a few of our leaders to come up and wait here at the altar, because I think this is important. Before we move the chairs and before the dance team rehearses, this is very important. I'm going to ask some of our leaders to come up, be ready to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you to respond. If you know that your heart is not perfectly right with God, and you know this on business, you need to go to the heavenly cardiologist this morning. Are you with me today? Church, are you with me? You need something from the heavenly cardiologist. After we sing, I'm going to invite our leaders to come, and then I'm going to ask you to step forward and let them pray for you. Just tell them briefly what's on your heart and let them pray for you, all right? Hallelujah. Don't leave here. Don't leave. Don't leave. Please stay with us. Stay with us for a minute. Hallelujah. Church, pray. Where are my prayer warriors this morning? Where are my prayer warriors? Church, pray. There's somebody's life that's hanging in the balance. I literally feel like somebody's, today's decision is going to change the direction of your life forever. Listen, God is knocking on your heart door. God is knocking on your heart door. Will you come this morning? I'm pleading with you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name to come. In Jesus' name, come. Hallelujah. I have a word. I want you to please be reverent for a minute. Not necessarily for me, but because I believe the Holy Spirit is moving in a wonderful way. I think we need to reverence God. If you agree, say amen. We need to give reverence to God. Listen, there's a word for somebody today. This word, if this doesn't touch you, I don't know what will. But I believe God is saying, by not deciding, by being cautious and doubtful and indifferent, you may wake up one day out of your stupor and realize you become a person you never wanted to be. Wow. Wow. I don't want to wake up one day ignoring God, saying I don't need God because I can do it on my own, and find out one day that I become a person that I never ever thought I would become. Startled and shocked and astonished at what happened in my life. This is the last call. This is the last call. We're going to sing it one more time. If you need to come forward and pray, open your heart to Jesus.